This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
We're back, live with more Rami McLaugh on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Tucker finally starting to show some signs with the bat. We'll see. I mean, we know he's going to hit, right? He's one of the better hitters in the game. So, I mean, he could have gone 0-for-8 and struck out 7 times in this series. I would still tell you, Kyle Tucker's going to put up big numbers by the end of this season.
There's Jim DeShays on Marquee Sports Network. Not worried about Kyle Tucker. I'm not worried so much about Kyle Tucker, per se. Just the guys around Kyle Tucker and whether or not they strike any fear in opposing pitchers the way that his lineup mates in Houston did, because that's part of what makes great hitters great, is they're surrounded by other great hitters and they see better pitches because of it. And you just wear down pitchers when you have a lineup like what they had in Houston for so many years. The Cubs, according to The Athletic, have the 16th best lineup in Major League Baseball. And two players in the top 80 offensively, position player-wise. And tack that on to a murderer's row of an opening schedule in April, and I have my concerns about the Cubs, and I'm hoping that they can come out of April 500. That would be ideal, honestly. More than 500, I'll be very, very pleasantly surprised, borderline shocked, if they come out of this month better than 500. How are you feeling about the Cubs? What do you expect? What's fair to expect in the first month of the season? 312-644-6767. And we could see a little bit less offensive production from Kyle Tucker because of what I just talked about and the lineup around him and teams feeling, well, why am I going to pitch to this guy when look at what's behind him or look what's around him in this lineup? He could absolutely kill me. He could change this game with one swing of the bat. Let me pitch around him and take my chances with the next guy or the next two or three guys. So, slight concern for Kyle Tucker, but more it's just about this offense as a whole and what I'm looking at in the first month of the season. 312-644-6767. I asked earlier if I was just making excuses for this Cubs team and looking at this schedule and how tough it is, not just the teams you're facing, but some of the intangibles of the schedule, the travel, the time zones, everything else that's going into it. This from the 630. I'm going to say you are, because subconsciously you know they're not going to make the playoffs again. I don't know that. Unless it's subconscious, then I wouldn't know that. I know that. Does that make sense? That's what subconsciously is. So, but I don't consciously. I don't know that they're not going to make the playoffs. I like their chances of making the playoffs this year. On the other hand, I'll refer back to that list I just talked about a second ago, ranking the lineups in Major League Baseball, and I ran through them real quick before. I don't know if you caught it, but the team that won this division last year, the Milwaukee Brewers, they have the 9th best lineup in baseball, according to The Athletic. Take that for what it's worth. I think they're a pretty good publication and have some good info backing up their opinions and takes. But I did wonder, I was saying before, I don't look at any of the teams on this list and say, well, how did they end up ahead of the Cubs? One of them that did catch me a little bit off guard was the Brewers. Not that they were ahead of the Cubs, but as high as they were on this list, ninth on the list. Now, they were sixth in all of baseball in runs scored last year, which honestly, reading that took me aback a little bit. I knew that was a good offense, but sixth in major leagues in runs scored last year. They did lose Willy Adames, the shortstop, in free agency this year, and he provided a lot of the power in that lineup. But they also have Jackson Churio, who's just 21 years old and hit 21 homers last year, stole 22 bases. William Contreras, he had his best year at the plate with an 831 OPS, 23 homers, 92 RBIs. And then they have Rhys Hoskins at first base, who hit 26 homers last year. I'll say this, though. I think Churio is the real deal. But when you're talking about like a William Contreras, wrong Contreras brother, and a Rhys Hoskins, those are guys that could come back down to earth. Those are the types of guys that maybe played a little bit above their heads last year and could come back down to earth. So that's one reason why the Cubs might catch those Brewers and make their way into the playoffs this year. I also think Cubs pitching is a little bit better until the Brewers show me otherwise and what they did to their bullpen. So I wouldn't say, again, you're saying I know subconsciously they're not going to make the playoffs. I don't know it consciously. Maybe subconsciously I do feel that way, though. Let's go out to Niles and Bruce. You're on the score. What's up, Bruce? What are you expecting from the Cubs in this first month of the season?
Well, I take 500 for that, but I think the Brewers are coming back down to earth. And St. Louis is worse. Pittsburgh's Pittsburgh. Cubs win the division.
Really? You're that certain?
I am pretty certain. The only concern I have is Cincinnati.
I've heard that. I appreciate the call. Who was I talking to last week that had Cincinnati as their sort of sleeper pick to win or contend in the division? I don't remember who it was. I talked to one of the baseball minds last week. And I can see it, man. You added Terry Francona. Guy's one of the better managers of the last quarter century when you look at what he's accomplished in Major League Baseball. So I can see that. And I mean, you got Ellie De La Cruz. They got a good young squad over there. Their lineup, now I'm talking about the Cubs lineup, their lineup really runs out of steam after like their first four or five guys in at the top of their order. They were 18th, so just a couple spots behind the Cubs in this ranking by The Athletic, if you care about that. I see the Brewers as the main competition in the division. And again, it's going to take a couple of those guys having big years again who maybe played above the back of their baseball cards. But for those of you who don't know, I live in Milwaukee. Fear not, I'm one of you. Born and bred Chicago fan, through and through. But I live in Milwaukee, so I got a lot of friends. Not a lot. That makes me sound popular. I got friends, like one or two. And I was talking to one of them today, and he was down on the Brewers. And I was like, dude, you guys are going to be fine. I don't know how, but you always seem to just find a way to be fine. So if I was you, that's the approach I would take into every year. I'd just be like, okay, how are they going to do it this year? I know they're going to do it, but how are they going to do it this year? Until further notice, that's how I look at the Milwaukee Brewers. Eventually, you would think their luck will run out or whatever it is that's fueled it, if it's luck or whatever it is. You would think it would run out, but man, they lose aces. They lose the best closer in the game. They lose their general manager to the Mets. They lose Craig Counsell to the Cubs. I'm not gonna look at them and go, well, they lost Willy Adames. That's the end of that run for them. Somebody else will pop up for them. I just assume that until somebody shows me otherwise. I just assume that, and that's the team that I'm looking at and that I'm worried about in the NL Central. I could be wrong. Every once in a while, I am wrong here on the score, but the Reds might be a problem in a year from now. I don't think the Reds are the problem this year. The biggest problem to start the year is just a schedule. That's the biggest problem for me to start this year. But we'll see. We'll see how they come out of the NL Central and out of the first month of April. While I'm on the subject of Milwaukee and fans up there feeling some pain or not really believing in what they're looking at, we had some breaking news in the last hour out of Milwaukee, this time from the NBA. And it's not good for the Milwaukee Bucks, who learned that Dame Lillard, one of their superstars out there, has blood clots in his leg and is going to be out indefinitely. Which that I know a lot of people weren't necessarily looking at the Bucks as one of the teams that could come out of the East, but you have two players like Dame and Giannis, and that team gets hot at the right time, and you never know what a superstar duo like that could do come the postseason if they get on a run at just the right time. If this is going to keep Dame out for the postseason, completely changes the complexion of the Eastern Conference. I don't know that it means anything for the Bulls, because I don't know that they were going to get deep enough to face the Bucks or anybody other than the Cavs or the Celtics. I said in the first hour of the show that I think the Bulls could very well come out of the play-in portion of the tournament and maybe put up a fight, like a 5 or 6 game hard exit at the hands of the Cavs or the Celtics, depending on if they end up in the 7 or 8 seed. I don't think they were going to go anywhere that was going to have them seeing the Bucks in a second or third round matchup. So it doesn't really matter to the Bulls and their road for however far it is that they might go, but it's that changes the landscape of the Eastern Conference. And full disclosure, like I said a minute ago, born and bred in Chicago. Chicago sports fan through and through, just like all of y'all. I did kind of adopt the Bucks as like my second basketball. That's okay, right, Tyler? Especially with the way that the Bulls have been playing the last few years. I think a lot of Bulls fans like adopted a second team. They're like, I'll come back when the Bulls are relevant again. I'm going to go over here and watch this basketball
like
team
for a while. I feel like it's valid with you living in Milwaukee that it's okay, because Milwaukee, the Bucks aren't really like a Bulls rival.
Yeah.
In case if now. If you were a Packers fan, that'd be a whole different story.
No. The way it goes for me is, I'm not gonna lie, I like the Bucks. I root for the Bucks. It's mainly Giannis. I love Giannis, and Dame was like also a top 5 player in the league for me. So when they went and got him, I was like, that's pretty cool. This is gonna be fun. But it's more like I like the Bucks. I'll root for them. The Brewers, I don't really care. Like if they're good, fine, and if they're not, fine. I don't really care. Hate the Packers. That will never change. No matter where I work, how long I work there, who I make friends with. I know people who played for the Packers. I know people in that front office, and I will tell them, I don't like you, and I don't like your football team. Not that I don't like you as a person. I'm friendly with them, but I don't like your football team and your affinity for it, and that will never change.
Hey, speaking of Pack, go the f*** home.
Exactly. Speaking of the NFL and the Bears, on Thursday, April 17th, Mark Grody and Dan Wiederer will be doing a live Take the North show from 6 to 7 p.m. on 670 The Score, broadcasting live from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. If you'd like to be part of the live studio audience for that show, go to 670thescore.com/contest to enter for a chance to win your way in. That's Thursday, April 17th. Catch Grody and Wiederer and a live Take the North podcast from 6 to 7 on 670 The Score and live from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Speaking of those Bulls, I talked about this team right now that we're watching play right now, and whether or not you're enjoying it and really rooting for them and hoping they can take this thing as far as it can go. I also said a couple times, we're going to talk about the big picture and the future of this Bulls team in the 8 o'clock hour. So we'll do that next, right after this. I'm Rami Makhlouf. It's the Score Evening Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Score.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
2-3 months ago, I would have said, you know what, as much as I love Coby White, I think you do need to see what his value is because of that contract situation and because he probably represents your best chance for change. But man, Billy was really eloquent postgame about him last night, saying like, what I love about him so much is he never looks outward. He always looks inward, and he just challenges himself to get better and to make the team better. He has become a leader, so no, I would not trade him. I would just get really creative with how you can assign him after next season.
There's KC Johnson on with Mully and Haw earlier this week, talking about Coby White. And KC, looking at the Bulls' future, well, specifically Coby White's future, a little differently than he was a few weeks ago. And that's my question to you. Are you looking at the Bulls' future any differently? Is this changing how you look at the Bulls' future, this hot stretch that they're on, winners of 8 of their last 10, powered a lot, much of that, by Coby White, and who you just heard KC Johnson talking about? Has this changed how you look at the Bulls' future? 312-644-6767. Again, just me and you on the phone lines and on the text line between now and the end of the show at 9 o'clock if you want to get in on some Bulls talk. And just real quick, because this is all from the same article, Tim Bonnetemps and Kevin Pelton, really good piece at ESPN.com. Before I get into the future, I did want to say, while all of us wanted this team to tank, well, the vast majority of us wanted this team to tank at the trade deadline, well, really before the trade deadline, I don't know that it would have been very effective or very fruitful in terms of where they would end up in the lottery. Because in this article that I'm talking about at ESPN.com, Can the NBA Fix Tanking? Why It's Worse This Season, Plus 5 Solutions, from Tim Bonnetemps and Kevin Pelton, they point out that with Cooper Flagg, a generational prospect, and all these teams that are rebuilding right now, or for lack of a better term, tanking, this is as if you want to term it this way, as bad a year as there has been in terms of teams tanking in the NBA. And the final paragraph in this first section of the article says, despite recent rules to prevent star players from sitting out too many games, the issue of tanking won't go away. And though NBA insiders mull new ways to curtail the practice, the league's worst teams are finding new ways to rack up late season losses. These next few weeks, one NBA executive said, could be the worst tanking stretch that we've ever seen. And you look at the standings in terms of the lottery and where teams stack up right now. And even if the Bulls really, really tanked this thing, I don't know that they would have passed too many teams when you look at what's ahead of them in the lottery right now. I mean, San Antonio, just a few games. Well, I guess they're tied with the Bulls right now, but no Wemby and no De'Aaron Fox for that team. And then you look past them, and Miami is 1-9 in their last 10. Toronto is almost 20 games under 500. Brooklyn has lost 8 of their last 10. Same with Philadelphia. New Orleans has lost 7 of their last 10. Utah has lost 9 of their last 10. Washington, who has the number one spot right now in the lottery, they've lost 7 of their last 10. I mean, these teams are really, really taking it to a next level when it comes to tanking in the NBA. So the Bulls maybe could have moved up a few spots in the lottery, but in retrospect, I don't know how much tanking would have helped with the Bulls improving their draft position or draft lottery position this season when you look at how effectively some of these other teams are tanking. But as far as the future goes, and that's the conversation I want to have with you, is this stretch changing the way you look at the Bucks' future? 312-644-6767, because there are going to be some decisions that need to be made this offseason. The one that a lot of people talk about, Josh Giddey, restricted free agent. They can make a qualifying offer to him, and we'll see how all that plays out in free agency. Coby White, who you just heard Casey Johnson talk about, and who's been sort of the spark plug of this hot run right now, he's extension eligible coming up this offseason and will be a free agent in a couple of years. So you have some decisions to make with this basketball team coming up in the next year or two, in the next offseason or two. And looking at this, and I don't want to get too carried away, because like Josh Giddey is playing great basketball right now, but we've also seen Josh Giddey play not so great basketball leading up to this point of his career. And you do got to wonder if this is just the contract bump that he knows he's got a payday coming if he can have himself a good season, and then he reverts back to old form. But you could also look at him and go, well, he's 22 years old. He wouldn't be the first guy to unlock the NBA and really figure things out and find his legs at 22 years old. Same thing for Coby White, 25 years old. Just the other night, I was talking with Chuck Swirsky, the voice of the Bucks, Kitch Bucks and Lakers, right here on The Score tomorrow night, your home for Chicago Bulls basketball. And he reminded me, like he said it, and I went and pulled up Coby White's profile, and I was like, oh yeah, he's 25. He's been in this league for, I think this is his sixth year. He's 25 years old. Again, wouldn't be the first guy to sort of unlock this thing at their mid-20s and have a fine NBA career and be part of a winning basketball team. So with that being said, you start looking at this team. And with those two, Coby and Josh Giddey, Bouzelis has a very, very high ceiling, in my opinion. And after that, There's a drop-off in terms of the young talent on this basketball team. But I'm a fan of Kevin Huerter. I'm a fan of Jalen Smith and Dalen Terry, I think, has shown you a few things in the minutes that he's gotten recently. And I'm not saying that any of these guys are good enough to lead you to a championship in the near future or ever. But could these guys be good enough to be part of a core of a team that contends or at least gets back to relevancy here in the next couple of years? And I know what you're saying. Well, Rami, if they're not the ones to lead you there, if they're just role players or maybe a second or a third option in a big three for a good contending relevant basketball team, where are you going to get that number one guy? Where are you going to go and get your superstar? And again, from the same article at ESPN.com, They make a pretty strong case for trying to tank and go out there and get a great player in the NBA draft. Saying among those remaining 40 teams, talking about the last 45 years of championships, among those remaining 40 teams, one of the following 14 players was a member of at least one of them. Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Julius Erving, Michael Jordan, Hakeem Olajuwon, Shaquille O'Neal, Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett, Dirk Nowitzki, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Giannis Antetokounmpo, or Nikolai Jokic. Five of those 14 players, Johnson, Olajuwon, O'Neal, Duncan, and James, were taken first overall, and only four, Bryant, Nowitzki, Antetokounmpo, and Jokic, were picked outside the top seven spots. That's a pretty strong case. They finish it up by saying even among those five outlier teams, only the Kawhi Leonard-led Raptors featured a player who was taken outside the top three. The 2004 NBA Finals MVP was Chauncey Billups, selected third overall in 97, the same spot that current Celtics star Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum were selected in 16 and 17, respectively. Meanwhile, Isaiah Thomas, the talisman of those 89 and 90 championship Pistons, was taken second overall in 1981. So they're saying, over the past 45 years, five NBA championships were led by a player taken outside the top seven spots in the draft. That's a pretty strong case that you want to get one of those top seven or top five spots in the draft. But if you look at that list a little bit more closely, there's three or four ways to get superstar players in the NBA. One is in the draft. As we're talking about tanking, getting one of the top, you know, three, four, five picks in the draft, hopefully the number one pick in the draft. There's free agency. That's becoming less and less of a viable option because most of these guys, the superstar types, are signing their supermaxes where they are, getting every dollar they can out of that contract. And then if they're not happy a year or two later, they force their way out. So if A is not happening, getting a guy in the draft, B is not really an option, maybe C is the road to finding that superstar player, pairing them or adding them to this core of guys that you already have, and then you might have something here. And when you look at that list that I just reeled off, now a lot of those guys drafted homegrown and stayed where they were their entire careers. But not all of them. Shaquille O'Neal won championships for the teams that didn't draft him. Kevin Garnett won a championship for the team that didn't draft him. LeBron James won a championship for the team that didn't draft him. Kawhi Leonard won a championship for the team that did not draft him. Yes, you need a superstar. Yes, you probably need somebody who was taken first or at least in the top five if you're going to win an NBA championship. But tanking is not the only path to doing that. There are other ways to do that. And what the Bulls have been lacking for so long was either tanking and being so bad that you get that superstar type of player at the top of the draft, or at the very least, put a team on the court that's good enough, respectable enough, exciting enough, and young enough that it's attractive to other NBA superstars out there when the time comes that they want out of wherever they are. And whether that's, I don't know, I don't even like to do this because people are always doing it, but maybe Giannis in a year or two asks to get out of Milwaukee. And I know along with the Knicks and the Lakers, Chicago is one of the places that Giannis has talked about having a great respect for their history and what they've accomplished, and maybe someplace that he'd want to play later in his career if he ever left Milwaukee. But that's just one guy. It seems like every year there's another superstar on the move. We know Luka was the guy who was traded this year. Kevin Durant's name was out there in trade rumors leading up to the trade deadline. So quite honestly, when I look at this Bulls roster and this hot stretch that they're on and who it's been powered by with Kobe White and Josh Giddey, and to a lesser degree, but still showing the flashes of his potential in Matis Puzelis, I think with those three guys, if you go into next year and you're hanging around, and I think they can, and with Billy Donovan being the coach that he is, if you can go into next year and hang around the middle of the playoff pack, and then all of a sudden all hell breaks loose somewhere, and again, who knows who it is? It's somebody different every year in the NBA, but some superstar somewhere is going, man, I got to get out of here. Wherever it is that they are, they're just, I got to get out of here, and I need some place to go. If the Bulls could be good enough and relevant enough and exciting enough and young enough that for the first time in I don't know how long, the Bulls are on a superstars short list of teams that they want to go play for, that might be the path to relevance again for this Bulls team. The path to contention, if not at least relevance in this league. It might not be the tank at this point. Now, that doesn't mean that I still don't think they should have tanked in the past, before the trade deadline, before the season, before last season. There have been many times where we've all been sitting around looking at each other and going, what are they doing? Like, why aren't they just tearing this thing down and tanking? We were right. And we were valid in asking those questions, having those thoughts and or concerns about this Bulls team and the direction that they're headed in. But where they are now and moving forward and looking at this roster, led by Coby White and Giddey, and I know you're going to have to pay Giddey, and that's a risky thing, and you might have to pay Coby this offseason, and that's a risky thing because they haven't shown that they can do what they've done in these last, I don't know, 10, 15 games, that they can do it consistently over the course of an 82-game season. And I heard Lawrence earlier today on Spiegel and Holmes say, you're going to give Josh Giddey $30 million this offseason, and then next December you're going to remember why you shouldn't have. And that might happen. That very well might happen. Same thing with Coby White. All of that could happen. But with tanking being as pervasive and teams being as effective at it as they have been here, and especially this year, but over the last few years, I don't know that you can tank with the best of them or with the worst of them, whatever, however you want to put it. I don't know that the Bulls can offload enough guys and enough pieces and ship enough guys out at this point to really effectively tank and get into the top three anytime in the near future. So your best bet might be investing in these young guys, seeing if they can come out strong out of the gates next year, and maybe it's next year, maybe it's the following season. You just wait for that superstar who wants out. Maybe in free agency, but again, that's becoming less and less a thing in the NBA these days. More likely, a guy who wants to be traded, who wants out from where he is, and he has a list of teams that he wants to go and play for, and the Bulls are on it. I don't remember the last time that happened. It used to be every time a superstar was available, the Bulls were on a short list. LeBron, D. Wade, Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, you name it. And I don't honestly remember the last time that that happened. But that might be your best shot at getting back to relevance and getting back to contention, is making this an attractive place by having young guys like Coby and Bouzelis and Giddey, and surrounding them with pieces like a Kevin Huerter, and yes, a Vooch, where a superstar looks at it and goes, that's an organization with amazing history and a great coach, and some guys there who I think I could go and win with. And then you're in business. Because I think that might be the more realistic path to getting that superstar that you want than doing it through the draft. That you want to be the LeBron James Heat or the Shaquille O'Neal Lakers or the Kawhi Leonard Raptors, the team that didn't draft the superstar but was able to go and get him, whether in free agency or through a trade. That's probably your most realistic path back to contention and relevance. Has this stretch changed the way you're looking at the Bulls' future? Because it kind of is for me a little bit. 312-644-6767. Still got one more segment to take your calls, your texts on that, and some concession offerings around the world of Major League Baseball as the season gets set to start for real coming up in a couple of days. We'll discuss all that right after this final segment of the Score Evening Show with me, Rami Makhlouf, right after this on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's me, final segment of the show. Make way for what will be BetMGM tonight with my guy Ryan Horvath. And then shortly after that, another one of my guys, Bart Winkler, takes over these airwaves right here on The Score and on the Infinity Sports Network with the Bart Winkler Show at 10. Bart, how are you this evening, my man?
Oh, I'm very good, Rami. How are you?
I'm great. This wasn't planned for you to come in and sit in on the show for a few minutes, but I brought up a couple Milwaukee things that also They have an impact on Chicago things as well, to
Milwaukee
some degree.
Is a suburb of Chicago, is all of
as
you.
I've heard. And you were in Chicago last week, were you not?
Yeah, you know, I live in Milwaukee, do the show. And I was in Chicago for the weekend, and I was in a cab, and they were listening to the score.
Oh.
And I wanted to be like, excuse me, sir, do you know that I'm on the score for 3 hours a night? Most nights? Non-Bulls or Cubs or DePaul, is it?
You didn't tell him?
No, I didn't tell him. I got too shy.
Why not? You should let people know. That's a big deal. You're a national sports talk radio host who's on one of the best sports talk stations, if not the best sports talk station in the country.
Yeah, but I don't know, like, his cab shift. Is he, like, a 9-to-5 and doesn't...
He's listening to the score. He probably hears you. He would have been overjoyed to hear that the one and only Bart Winkler is in my cab.
Yeah, but, like, outside of this segment right now, does anyone ever bring up my existence?
Yeah, you've been on the afternoon show a few times. You're like the Milwaukee representative for the afternoon show.
I mean, I'm on the station 3 hours a night. Shouldn't I be, like, doing remotes?
I mean, you're not that big a deal.
Shouldn't I be, like, you know?
No, you're not. No.
Okay.
That's way too much. You're asking for way too much, Bart. But I brought up a couple of Wisconsin things on the show, Milwaukee things specifically, that may or may not have an impact on Chicago things in the sports world. The first one, not so much, because the Bulls are not really relevant.
No.
The Bucks are slightly more relevant, and I think still in the back of some people's minds, they're like, maybe they get hot. They got two great superstars in Dame and Giannis. Maybe they get hot and make a run in the postseason. Well, those hopes were all but dashed today with the news that Dame Lillard has blood clots in his leg and is out indefinitely. Is that that's pretty much the end of that for this season, right?
You would think so. I mean, I don't think that that's something that just gets magically cured before the playoffs start.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another postseason, and really everyone since they won the finals, where Middleton was hurt, and then Giannis is hurt the next year, and then Dame and Giannis both hurt last year, and now Damian Lillard is, I can't imagine that he comes back anytime soon. You know, when the Victor Wembanyama story happened,
yeah,
the first news item I saw on that was, oh, and you know, there's like a 97% chance of survival. So what?
Survival?
Normally we see a sports injury, we're like, oh, 6 to 8 weeks, can he come back? This is like 3% chance, maybe not at all ever again. And so you never know how serious these things are, but it sounds like they are diagnosing it early. But yeah, in terms of like the more micro view of this Bucks season, I think it's another season that will probably go to waste. Although where they're at between the Celtics and the Cavaliers, I think is just, it's too tall of a mountain to climb. Even if they are fully healthy, I'm almost like worried that they won't get out of a first round series fully healthy against the Pacers at this point, or even Detroit. So it's a bummer. It's a bummer that they're probably going to get 2 years out of Damian Lillard, and then nothing came of it. I've already been talking in text exchange where people are all. It was like, what time is it? 8:48.
8:48. Yeah.
So the news broke maybe at 7:48, and in that last hour, and you know, it's just a group of friends, but we've gone from this sucks, we're doomed, to what do you think we could get for Giannis? So it's been a really quick.
Stop it.
Really quick.
Stop it.
Like
no.
White flag.
Unless you're trading him to the Bulls. No.
We're done.
Stop that. That's crazy talk. All right. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about was, I was talking about the Cubs earlier and this brutal first month of the schedule that they have. Not just in terms of opponents, but going to Tokyo.
Already a game back.
Then going to the West Coast and then coming home to start with a day game. Like there's a lot working against the Cubs in addition to just the schedule in the first month. And I was talking about a list I saw at The Athletic ranking lineups in Major League Baseball. They had the Cubs at 16th. I was a little bit surprised they had the Brewers at 9, despite losing Willy Adames this offseason. I know they were the sixth highest scoring team in baseball last year. But you lose a player like Willy Adames and you're still at 9. And a part of my brain goes, what? How? They lost one of their best offensive players and they're still a top 10 offense in this league. The other part of me, and this is what I tell Brewers fans that are friends of mine, I was just telling a mutual friend of ours today, like, dude, they're going to be fine. I don't know exactly how, but they're going to be fine, and somebody is going to step up and have a season
that no one expected, because that's what just what they do every year. And that's really the only team I'm looking at in the NL Central as a hurdle or an obstacle to the Cubs winning the division. The rest of the division doesn't worry me. But the Brewers, even though they lost Willy Adames, they still are a team that I feel like you have to get past if you're going to win this division. Do you agree?
Division-wise, yes. Once the postseason happens, I mean, they'll do nothing. They don't do anything. But lineup-wise, with William Contreras behind the, you know, the plate, with Jackson Churio, who I think is just going to continue to even get better and better, and then if they can get like 130 games out of Christian Yelich, and if he can be somewhat healthy, then you've got three legitimate bats in your lineup, which even, you know, with Willy Adames there last year, Churio came on later in the season. It's not something that you have a lot. With the Brewers, what they've been able to do, where we all say, all right, 78 games, and then all of a sudden they're winning the division, they have a lot of spots on the roster, and this year is similar, where it's like, this could be a really good team if this guy overperforms. If everybody overperforms just a little bit, and they get that a lot. But now you do have the crutch of some of these guys being really, really good. It's just a matter of, what are these other guys going to do? Lineup-wise, might be better. The pitching is a massive question, especially the starters. I don't think anybody's too comfortable about that. So I don't expect anything other than what I've come to expect about the Brewers. We're going to say, yeah, you know, this team, I don't know. They're going to be in contention. They could possibly win the division. They'll play for four games in October, and then they'll lose their biggest star to the Giants.
I know it used to be, like, during the team that won the World Series, when I talked to Brewers fans, it was almost, there was this defeatist attitude of, how do we compete with that, when they look at the Cubs' payroll and everything that goes into it. Is that still there? Because the Cubs' payroll isn't, it's not the Dodgers' payroll, but you compare it to the Brewers and the rest of the NL Central, and they're the highest spending sort of class of the division. Do you still look at that as like, oh man, how do you even compete with that type of payroll? Or at this point, do you look at it kind of the same way I do, but from the other side, where you're like, I don't know how, but we'll figure out a way. We're going to be better than the Cubs this year.
Yeah, I think we'll figure out a way, and I don't think the Cubs' payroll is like as daunting as some of these other teams, specifically LA.
Yeah.
And also, the Cubs don't seem to utilize their status as a large market team
enough.
Thank
you. I've been saying that, yeah.
And I don't know what's holding them back, but until they start acting like...
luxury tax, that's what's holding them back.
But you got to plow through that if you're one of these teams. It's interesting to look around the league and think, which owners actually want to win and which owners just want to stay above water and make a little money. It's clear what the Dodgers are. I think it's become clear what the Cubs might be, and they disguised it like, we'll pay the manager. Oh, okay, cool.
And we'll go get Kyle Tucker, but in the last year of a deal on the cheap for a year. Yeah, you're right. They operate like a mid-market team. That's Bart Winkler. He's right. He'll be right on these airwaves coming up at 10 o'clock on the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network. My thanks to him for jumping in on this last segment. Also, my thanks to Sam Monson from the 33rd Team, co-host of the Check the Mic podcast. Some good football talk with Sam earlier in the show. And Sammy P, he talks some NCAA tourney with me from Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network. If you missed either of those or anything on today's show, 670thescore.com, or use the rewind function on that handy-dandy, totally free Odyssey app. My thanks to all you for listening and contributing to the show, and to Tyler Buterbaugh on the other side of the glass, doing a great job on the ones and twos and helping me line this thing up. For Tyler, I'm Rami Makhlouf, saying thanks for listening to the Score Evening Show. I'll be on the midday show with Mark Grody coming up on Friday. Until then, thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you on Friday. Thanks.
Time to go home!